Welcome to The Sound of Economics. I'm Giuseppe Forcaro, and we are bringing you this podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based think tank specialized in economics and economic policy. We are pleased to be back with the first episode of a second season of podcasts. Each episode of this season will look at one of Europe's big economic policy debates. We'll discuss why it's important and explore some of the work that Bruegel researchers have done in the area. Today, we have the pleasure of hosting with us Lionel Barber, Financial Times editor, and the Financial Times Whitehall editor, James Blist, together with Bruegel's director, Guntram Wolf, and Maria de Mertzis, senior scholar at Bruegel. We will discuss what Brexit means for politics and business and how the UK and the EU can move forward. The UK's decision to leave the EU was greeted with shock in Europe. And few months after the referendum, there is still a lot of uncertainty about what happened next. So, Lionel, do you think the UK is retracting not only from Europe, but also from globalization, as shown to a certain extent by Amber Rudd's initiative to shame companies with foreign workers? Is British politics now drifting towards Little England?
British politics is readjusting a lot in tone, talking about the problems of globalization, marginalization, some anti-business rhetoric adopted by the Prime Minister, Theresa May. But I don't think that this is a wholesale retreat. We remain an open economy, but there is going to be an adjustment.
Thanks. And James, so what would be the implications for business of this new rhetoric?
Well, the implications are pretty serious. I mean, if you look at the front page of the Financial Times last Saturday, you have the head of the CBI, our Employers Federation, who are saying two things. One, we're not being consulted about this. Their view is that politics has now got the upper hand over economics, that the politics of migration are now more important than the politics of securing the economy and the interests of enterprise. So they're worried about being marginalised. And secondly, they're clearly worried that the Prime Minister, especially after what she said about leaving European Court of Justice jurisdiction, is taking the UK down a hard Brexit. It means we're going to have to leave the single market, into which we sell a substantial part of our services. Britain is an 80% services economy. It means that we're going to put up migration barriers, which are worrying for key sectors of the economy, like science, the universities, the financial services, and so on. And so they're concerned. Now, the pro-Brexiteers are making the argument that we can recoup a lot of this by a more open trading relationship with non-EU states. But I think that they underestimate how much degradation there will be in the UK-EU relationship, trading relationship, and they overestimate what can be achieved quickly in relations with the US, China, India, etc.
Hey, Guntram, how should Europe react to this situation?
Well, I think Europe in the medium and long term has an interest to prevent a very nasty divorce. But having said this, I think also some principles have to remain and cannot be touched. For example, European Court of Justice jurisdiction cannot be negotiated if one wants to have very deeply integrated markets, because without that common enforcement of rules, you basically very quickly end up in a situation where firms have an unfair competition and where the level playing field is not guaranteed. So I think we should send clear signals, certainly on single market access, which to me means enforcement of rules, common set of rules. I think there is some scope to compromise on the migration numbers, even though that is still very controversial here in Brussels. But overall, I think the long-term interest should really be thought of, because ultimately we are very connected and we cannot replace a close trading partner like the UK with China or anybody else so easily.
Thanks. And Maria, is there some danger in Europe as well to retracting from integration? I mean, if there is this kind of rhetoric on the other side of the channel, what's going on this side?
Well, I think to the extent that this threat was perhaps more visible right about the time of the referendum, right now I think that's much more contained, so I don't think there is an imminent danger in that respect. But having said that, the fact remains that the future of Europe depends very much on its ability to reform. there are important challenges facing us, from the refugee crisis, banks which are facing, again, in first page in the Financial Times. I think that's very important economic problems, and not to mention, of course, the lack of growth. If we don't reform fast in a credible way, that threat might reemerge.
Thanks. Lionel, do you have something to add about that?
Well, first of all, the big question is whether immigration, which I believe was the driving force behind the Leave victory, concerns about immigration, whether that is going to, in effect, trump politics, even trump the economy and the pocketbook interests of voters. I think that the perception that Britain and Europe had lost control of its national borders was key. And this is an enduring problem. So I'm somewhat heartened by Gunther's thoughts that actually there could be a deal on immigration. I'd like to say, by the way, that if Angela Merkel and others had given David Cameron what he asked for in terms of an emergency break, we may even had a Remain victory in June. But that's history now. The other point to mention is what James was saying about the single market. There are an increasing number of MPs who are concerned about the fact that the British could leave the single market. I mean, they say, we never voted for that. We voted for leaving the EU. But the dilemma, last point, is that if you say we do not accept the jurisdiction of the ECJ, we want to take back control over our laws, and if you say we want the absolute say on immigration, then it's hard to see how you can stay in the single market.
Yeah. Very much agree with those two key points. It's what Theresa May said last week on ECJ that has rattled people, because it does mean ending membership, and the rhetoric on immigration was tough. I don't know if you agree with this, but one of the things I think that was good is that actually May, having said she wouldn't have a running commentary, did actually come out and say this stuff at this stage. Because what's now happening in the UK is we are, after a period in which everything was enclosed within Cabinet, Parliament wasn't doing very much, the economy was doing reasonably well, actually suddenly we're beginning to see in Britain what the consequences might be of some of these things. So what's happened to sterling, the reaction of European leaders, and now in Parliament we have more of a debate that says, okay, we're not going to reverse the Brexit decision, we can't have a vote on that, but Parliament should have a say on what kind of exit door the British should head for.
Well, I mean, just on the free movement, I think in the February deal it was pretty much impossible to go beyond what was agreed in the deal, because either you are a member of the European Union, and then I think UK has to abide by the full set of EU law, or you are not. And it seems to me that for the European Union as such, the four freedoms are non-negotiable, as is the enforcement of laws, the European Court of Justice, and so on. Now, once you are outside of the European Union, it seems to me that, at least from an economic point of view, one can break up that link that is now being made so strongly between the four freedoms. And that is something which is a political red line at the moment on the European side, and I suppose that line is going to be defended quite tough by some, quite vigorously by some countries, because there's a fear that then, you know, one would conclude within the EU one can also undo this. But let me again say, I think to my mind this assessment is overdone. The political contagion risk, I think, is overdone. Ultimately, as Maria also said, the European Union has to be attractive to its members, because it is attractive to be a member of the European Union, and not because one gives a very bad deal to those outside.
Yeah, what's important, I think, in my view, is that we make arrangements that are credible and sustainable in the future. Interesting, as Secretary Kerry was in Brussels, he said that you cannot put the genie of globalization back in the bottle. I think there was an interesting metaphor also in Europe. We trade very much with the UK. I don't think it's impossible to retract from that. We just have to make do and find credible arrangements, sustainable arrangements, so that we continue to trade and continue to prosper. That, for me, is the most important thing.
Thank you very much. It's definitely a discussion that will continue to occupy the stage in the next month, and that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening to The Sound of Economics. If you are interested in more Bruegel work on Brexit, there is also a range of blogs and papers by our scholars available on our website, www.bruegel.org. We hope you join us again for The Sound of Economics. See you next time.